The epistle appointed to be read for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Gospel. This is the Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 10. At that time, when John heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, Art thou he that art to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, Go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is whom it is written, Behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. What went you out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Gospels during the last three Sundays of this holy season of Advent, the season of 4 weeks during which we are reminded of the 4,000 years of the Hebrews waiting for the promised Messiah. Holy Mother, the Church places before our eyes a very important figure for our sanctification, St. John the Baptist, the very last of the great prophets, the immediate precursor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Mother, the Church presents to our eyes three very important characteristics of St. John for our consideration and for our imitation. They are penance, zeal, and steadfastness in the faith. St. John was not a man clothed in soft garments. Rather, he wore a camel hair shirt. St. John was an angel, so-called, preparing the way of Christ. And he was not a reed shaken by the wind, for in St. Matthew it is related of him, Herod had apprehended John and bound him and put him into prison because of Herodia, his brother's wife. For John said to him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. Penance and zeal and steadfastness in the faith, these three virtues that drew him ever closer to the heart of his cousin and his Lord and God. And with regard to doing penance, there are two kinds of penance that we can practice. One affects the body, and the other affects the soul. The first type of penance is called exterior, that is, subjecting the body to undergo some type of corporeal denial. The world, looking in from the outside upon the penances performed by the saints that were done to subject their wills and their evil inclinations to the law of God, considers these actions to be great acts of cruelty to their bodies. Fastings and vigils and long sufferings are considered by the world as superstitious, as fanaticism, or sheer madness. But at the same time, the world praises the self-sacrificing sports hero or the fasting and diet nature of the Hollywood mentality, all for the glorification of man and the cult of the body. When the object of such penance is directed toward man, the world applauds. But when the same type of penance is directed toward God and to His honor and glory, then the world is up in arms against such homage. The world of sin is not on friendly terms with the God of holiness, and it takes offense at every act of reverence done to Him. But this friendship of God is the very aim, the very end of our existence. The Sacred Heart Himself has stamped His approval on our little penances done to subject our wayward wills and our passions. With St. Paul, we can say we chastise our bodies so that we bring them into subjection to the sweet yoke and the law of God. Our will, by the wound given to it by Adam, has rooted in it by original sin the desire for bodily comfort and ease and luxury of the senses. But our senses must be subject to the Spirit. They must be subject to the will. Every victory we make over our flesh adds new strength to continue on our daily fight for our souls. We make great advancement in our spiritual lives the more we deny our fallen human nature and overcome our appetite for forbidden pleasures. Every pang that is inflicted upon the body is a reminder that we do not have here in this world a lasting city, but rather we are journeying towards a home where pain will be no more. It is a truth that God will not be outdone in generosity. He rewards every single act of bodily mortification done for love of Him with a new supply of grace to combat the next onslaught of ourselves. And a new supply of grace brings it with a new degree of glory. Our Divine Master Himself has instructed us in what we must do to gain our salvation. Our Lord Himself has told us, "If any man wants to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." This instruction includes the notion of both interior and exterior penance. To deny oneself is the habit or fixed disposition of our mind, by which we are watchful of our strong inclinations towards pleasures, and we deny those pleasures to ourselves. We are remodeling our old selves and putting on the new man. Our heart is a continual network of desires. And of these desires, some are virtuous. Some are innocent, without any real help towards salvation and sanctification, while others are clearly wicked, and they are utter hindrances to our sanctification. Our virtuous inclinations must always be encouraged in practice, because we can never practice virtue too much. The more we practice virtue, we use these virtues daily, it helps in mortifying our evil inclinations, and our virtues become habitual. And until they become good habits, this practice always involves a continued amount of difficulty to our fallen human nature. But the more we overcome our wicked inclinations by mortification and violence to ourselves, the easier it becomes to overcome ourselves and to practice virtue. Even the relinquishment of some legitimate gratification now and then for the honor and glory of God gives added strength to overcome our evil inclinations. The second great virtue that was practiced by St. John was his zeal for souls. The way of the world today is a great reminder of how necessary this is for us. Men, women, and children are flocking in droves to the fires of hell because they are deaf to the graces that are sent to them, especially the external graces, of our very own good example and our good work. It happens that many times through us, God gives an external grace to other souls. He uses us as instruments of leading souls to His mercy. And God calls upon us in a certain sense to help us save souls. He has duty of our fraternal charity towards our neighbor to lead them to the divine charity. It is true, it is not enough simply for a soul to receive a grace. That soul must also cooperate with that grace. And the more sure way of having an influence upon others so that they will comply with the graces given to them is by leading our own lives of grace, by leading our own good lives. This apostolate of preaching the Catholic truth to others is best accomplished through our holy life and a life of prayer. If mankind is going to be saved from its present peril, and it can be, it can only be saved by prayer. For such a colossal work that requires a colossal strength, which can only be accomplished through the almighty power of God, through prayer. The world can be converted, but it can only be converted through the powerful weapon that is powerful enough to accomplish the work, and by using that weapon. The Sacred Heart is calling us, his clients, for assistance in converting sinners. Our Lady at Fatima pleaded with us to do penance and pray for poor sinners. We must cultivate a true zeal for souls, for those souls which have been purchased by the very precious blood of Christ, souls which were created for heaven. We must take the opportunity of our lives to help save souls from the eternal fires of hell through a life of good, holy prayer and good example. When others see us practicing our faith, it is a good example for them to receive external grace. But not only did St. John practice penance and zeal for souls, St. John the Baptist was also a martyr, surrendering his life in defense of religion and morality. He was imprisoned and beheaded for standing up for the truth and for purity and morality. Even when it was difficult, he never wavered in his convictions. What an example we have to follow, and how necessary for us in the world today. The example of St. John, who was a creature just as we are, gives us the necessary strength to carry on when it seems like the entire world is against us, when the entire world is caving in to the caprices of evil and sin. We are confronted today with conspicuous lives of men who are at peace with iniquity, whose glory is their shame, whose God is their belly, and who believe in liberty as a license to do as they please. It has become vogue to attack the Catholic Church, even from within, as being outmoded and outdated. The Catholic, the true Church of Christ, has become the brunt of vile jokes. A moral life is seen as ludicrous. A life of self-denial and mortification and true conviction is ridiculed as insanity. But the moral law, my faithful, does not change. Truth does not change. The true Catholic Church, founded upon truth itself, does not and cannot change, nor can our subjection to this truth. Our lives must be founded and rooted in our faith, the faith that is given to us as a most precious gift. We are the soldiers for our king in the battle for our spouse, the battle of the spouse of Christ, which is Holy Mother, the Church. And for the members of this church, we are our own souls. We must show daily by the tenor of our lives that we are worthy soldiers and worthy of the crown of victory. St. Matthew tells us, and from the days of St. John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent will bear it away. We must continue to live in these times of violence, and that is the quiet violence of our self-sacrifice, in living in exact observance of the laws of God, in the exact observance of the laws of the church, by our practice of humility, of obedience, of our faith, of sacrificing and living in the world that is rife with immorality and yet not being of the world. My dear faithful, we must press on, as did St. John the Baptist, and persevere to the end in our convictions for the truth, to stand firm against the wiles of the world and the worldly, no matter the cost. The Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart are our constant consolations. It is there that we find our repose and our strength to continue. When the battle wages on and we become weary, rest assured that ours will be the victory, for we have as our ally the omnipotent Creator and His glorious Queen. My dear faithful, follow the example of St. John. Do penance, exterior and interior. Have zeal for the souls that are around you. Have zeal for the souls that have been purchased at a very great price, just as your very own soul has been purchased. And persevere in the Catholic faith. These three are so necessary in the world in which we live today. Yet know and remember that our Lord is still in charge. Our Lord has not, nor will He abandon us. As long as we continue to do what we have to do and what He wills us to do, continue the struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, we know in the end that we will be victorious. Follow the example of the precursor of Christ, St. John the Baptist. Imitate his virtue, his zeal for souls, and his undaunting steadfast in the faith, and you can be assured of our divine and holy Redeemer will have for you a reward, the great crown of life everlasting. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.